Cuando somos niños, nuestros padres y menudo establecen reglas para que las sigamos. A veces, estas reglas tienen sentido para nosotros en ese momento y a veces no tienen sentido. A menudo, los seguiremos por obediencia ciega a nuestros padres, creyendo que ellos saben lo que es mejor para nosotros. A medida que envejecemos, generalmente, cuando nos convertimos en adolescentes, podemos resentir esas reglas o rebelarnos contra ellas, creyendo que sabemos que es lo mejor. Puede que no sea hasta que seamos adultos, reflexionando sobre nuestra infancia, que comprendamos completamente la razón de las reglas que nuestros padres nos hicieron. Lo que llegamos a entender es que la razón por la que nuestros padres hacen estas reglas es porque nos aman y quieren lo mejor para nosotros. Quieren que seamos felices, quieren que no hagamos cosas que pueden causarnos daño. Podemos aplicar lo mismo a Dios. Si nuestros padres terrenales se preocupan tanto por nosotros para hacer reglas, entonces nuestro Padre Celestial, que es todo bien y amor mismo, ha establecido leyes que son los mejores para nuestro bien. Él nos regló estas leyes por amor. Nuestra primera lectura del libro de Eclesiástico nos dice que elegimos guardar estos mandamientos, seremos salvos. Es decir, si guardamos estos mandamientos, obtendremos nuestra salvación. Entonces, estos mandamientos no están ahí solo porque Dios quiere que seamos obedientes seguidores de las reglas. Él nos ama y desea que seamos salvos. Por eso nos revela estas leyes que nos salvarán. ¿Cuáles son estos mandamientos? Pues son los 10 mandamientos: no matarás, no robarás, no cometerás adulterio, etcétera, etcétera. Pero Jesús, que no abriendo la antigua ley del pueblo judío, sino que la está cumpliendo. Él es aquel que los profetas predijeron. Él es Dios hombre, completando nuestra salvación al morir en la cruz por nuestros pecados. Jesús también nos invita a profundizar. Él quiere que sepamos que no es solo lo que hacemos exteriormente, sino también lo que hacemos interiormente. No se trata solo de no matar a tu prójimo, sino que abrigar un rencor enojado en tu corazón también puede llevarnos a pecar. No es que experimentar la emoción de la ira sea malo en sí mismo, pero no debemos aferrarnos a ella ni arremeter contra los demás. Otro ejemplo es que no es suficiente que no cometamos adulterio, sino que no debemos mirar a otras personas con lujuria en nuestro corazón. Jesús nos desafía que al permitirnos ser formados del adentro hacia afuera, Él quiere que vivamos una vida santa en lugar de simplemente ser buenos seguidores de las reglas. Nos hacemos más como Cristo si vivimos una vida de santidad desde el interior. En la última instancia, estamos llamados a amar como Cristo amó. Pero el amor tiene una demanda de que deseamos el bien de los demás, no que simplemente decidarnos no hacerlos daño. De esta manera, nuestro amor se vuelve eucarístico. Recibimos las gracias de la caridad o del amor que nos son dadas en la Eucaristía y somos capaces de amor como Cristo. Cristo amó en la entrega de sí mismo. Somos transformados por el sacramento que consumimos. Al acercarnos a nuestro altar eucarístico, conformemos nuestra mente a Cristo y seamos transformados por el poder del amor que se nos ofrece a través del cumplimiento de la ley en Cristo. When we're children, our parents, they often establish rules for us to follow. And sometimes those rules make sense to us at the time, and sometimes the rules maybe don't make sense when we're children. And often we have to follow them out of blind obedience to our parents because we believe that they know what's best for us, and we trust them. And as we get older, usually when we become teenagers, so if you're a teenager, you probably understand this pretty well, we can maybe resent those rules that our parents create, and we can rebel against them, believing that we know what's best, that they know that you know what's better than your parents. It's not until maybe we reflect back as adults on our childhood that we fully comprehend the reason for the rules that our parents made along the way, that they make more sense. What we come to understand is that the reason our parents make these rules is because they love us and they want what's best for us. They want us to be happy. They want us to not do things that are going to cause us harm. And we can apply that same thing to God. If our earthly parents care this much about us to make these rules, then our Heavenly Father, by extension, is going to do this because He loves us, because He wants our good. He's gifting us these rules out of love for us. Our first reading from the book of Sirach tells us that if we choose to keep these commandments, we will be saved. Meaning, if we keep these commandments, then we will attain our salvation. We'll have the chance to go to heaven. So these commandments are not just there because God wants us to be blind rule followers and just obey things that he creates. But he loves us and desires for us to be saved. So he gives us, he reveals to us in sacred scripture and in natural law in our hearts these rules. So what are these commandments that we're talking about? Well, they're the Ten Commandments that you probably know. You shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, all of these different rules, these laws rather. But Jesus is not, when he comes, he's trying to remind the Jews that he's talking to, that he's not going to abolish the old law of the Jewish people, but he's going to fulfill it. So he becomes our Savior. He becomes what the prophets foretold. He's God and man, and he's completing our salvation by dying on the cross for us, for our sins. Then Jesus invites us to go deeper than the law. He wants us to know that it's not just what we do exteriorly that matters, but it's what matters interiorly, on the inside. So it's not just about not killing your neighbor, not harming your neighbor, but it's also just about not harboring a grudge, like in your heart that can lead you to sin. It's not that saying that experiencing anger is a bad thing. We can all experience it when injustice has happened to us, but we can't just hold on to it and then lash out at other people. That would not be something that would be right and just. Another example is that it's not enough just not to commit adultery, but we shouldn't look at other people with lust in our hearts. That's like committing adultery in our heart. So what Jesus is challenging us here is that by allowing us to be formed from the inside out, we can live a holy life. We can do something deeper that he's calling us to, not just to be good exterior rule followers, but to really become holy. When we do this, we become more like Christ. Ultimately, we are called to love as Christ loved, to do as Christ did, but that love is a demand. It wants us to will the good of other people. It wants us to will the good of ourselves. It wants us to will ourselves and others to salvation. Not just that we don't want to harm them, but we also want to lead them to holiness. And so in this way, the love that we have becomes Eucharistic. We receive in the Eucharist the grace of charity or love. And then we're able to love just as Christ did on the cross in a self-giving way, in a sacrificial way. And when we receive the Eucharist, when we consume it, we become transformed. It becomes us. We conform our way of thinking to Christ. And in turn, the Eucharist conforms to us. So during this Mass, as we approach our Eucharistic altar, let us be transformed by the power of love that is offered to us through the Holy Eucharist, so we can love as Christ loved and be transformed from the inside out.